The pasuk says, "Va'avraham zokein bo ba'yomim, va'Hashem berech Avraham ba'koil." That's in Bereishis, in Parshas Chayisora. So the Sipurnu here says the following: "Bir hasibois shechricho es Avraham lishloach es avdoi ato el eretz acheres ba'ad isho livnoi." The Torah is alluding to, explaining the causes, the reasons why Avram Avinu sent Eliezer to, at this juncture in his life, to search for a wife for his son. And secondly, why he had to make him to make a shvua also, that he's going to do it and do it according to Avram's wishes and directives. Kilesibas hazikno, because of his old age, doag sheyomois velo yire bechupas benoi. He was afraid that he would die and he wouldn't live to see the chupa of his son Yitzchok. Vehiskim shaloyla acher oid, and decided, came to the conclusion, not to delay this any further. It has to happen now. The time is now. Umibli ein be'artzo isho haguno livnoi, hutzroch lishloach el eretz acheres. And since there was no wife worthy in his place where he was worthy of his son Yitzchok, worthy of marrying his son Yitzchok, Canaan was not an appropriate shidduch. So therefore, he had to send him le'eretz acheres. Then he continues, Umipnei Oshroi, and because of his wealth, Avraham Avinu was a super, super wealthy person at the time. Doag Shemo Eize Odom Bilti Hogun, maybe some inappropriate, some not such a good person, Yarbe Shoichad La'avdoi, will increase, will give a lot of bribery, will bribe with a lot of money to his servant Eliezer, that he should marry his daughter. He's going to pay off Eliezer, so Eliezer will set up the shidduch between Yitzchok and this very wealthy person's daughter because of the bribe, the money that he has paid him in order to set up the shidduchim. I guess the shidduchim was a business even then. Velo yishtadel hasig isho haguno livnoi, and Eliezer won't be put in the effort to find the proper wife for his son, for Yitzchok. Velochein hutzrach lahashbia es avdei al kolele. Therefore, he found it necessary to make him swear that he's going to take care of it and not to take from Canaan and only to take from where exactly where he sent him, to the mishpocha and to the place and everything else. So, lechayra, there's one little twist over here which seems very strange. He was afraid that Eliezer is going to give in to bribery. And some rich guy, I guess in Canaan, who wants a shidduch. Avraham Avinu was such a wealthy man, and he, you know, wanted to marry, money likes money, and he wanted to marry him off to a wealthy girl, a wealthy family. So he's afraid that he would bribe Eliezer, and that was his concern. Now, you know, knowing who Eliezer was certainly makes this a very remote concern. Eliezer was his Talmud Mufik. Eliezer was the one, he was called Damesek because he was Dele Umashke Mitoirosei Shel Rabbi La'Acherim. He drew forth all the Torah that he learned from Avraham Avinu, and he was the Rosh Yeshiva that taught it to everybody else. So, but yet, I guess he's human, and there was a concern that he might, that this might happen. But what's interesting is, he doesn't say that he was concerned that he might marry him off to this inappropriate person. He said, "Velo yishtadel lahasig isha haguno livnoi," and he won't be mishtadel to get a isha haguno livnoi, and therefore he had to make him swear. So, l'chayra, the emes was that there was no realistic concern that Eliezer would give in and give over Yitzchok to someone who bribed him. That wasn't the concern. The concern was that maybe someone will offer him a bribe, and he will not be mishtadel lahasig isha haguna livnoi, and he'll stop his ishtadlus. Now, if he's not going to give in to the bribe, that's not the issue, because he doesn't seem to be concerned about that. He's worried maybe he'll marry him off to this rich guy who bribed him and not an appropriate wife. So, l'chira, if Eliezer was above that, and his stature, his matzav as a Talmud Muvik, as the greatness that he was and the integrity that he had, so he is above doing such a thing. So what's the concern? V'lo yishtadel lahasik isha aguna livnoi. So why is he not going to be mishtadel? He knows, Eliezer must know too, I assume, that that's not going to happen. Eliezer wouldn't do such a thing. So it's like Eliezer's being tempted to do something that he's not going to do. But because of the possibility of a temptation to do something that he's not going to do, we're afraid that he's going to have this nikia, that he won't be mishtadel to find the right wife. If you know that that can't happen, so that negia should dissipate. It should disappear. It shouldn't create a negia. And you should be back to your normal yirah shomayim and achrayis and loyalty to Avraham Avinu and tzidkis to go and find the right wife. Yet it seems that the fact that he was offered a bribe, or he might be offered a bribe, I mean, if it happens, and if he's offered a bribe to give this person, even with the knowledge that the bribe is impossible to take and I cannot do it and I'll never do it, not machmas my loyalty or whatever the cheshbonis that he has, he will not do it. But still, I was offered a bribe. I was offered a bribe, so now I'm not mishtadl. What do you mean not mishtadl? The bribe is affecting you. But the bribe can't happen. So what's affecting you? There's nothing that's affecting you. No, the bribe is affecting me. But the bribe is on something that can't happen. So since it can't happen, why is that going to affect your ishtadlus? It seems, I'm sure others will have other things to say, but it seems that the power of a negia is such that even when rationally I know that it can't be, so the thing that's confusing, confounding, and blinding me is something that is a hope of something that I know can't be. But that idea is there in my mind. There's the thought, I wish it could be. It's tempting to be. I'm being offered a lot of money. It might have some influence. Of course, I could never do it. But that in itself creates an negia which will affect him in the efforts for the hishtadlus. He won't put in the same, or he might not put in the same hishtadlus, despite the fact that the thing that's affecting him is really something that could never happen. But that's an effect of a negia. And when a person has any slight thought, emotion, which can challenge that which he's supposed to do, he's vulnerable to negias on so many different levels that he could really take it to the point where it's impossible. I know it's not going to happen. It has no effect whatsoever. And not no effect. It has no possibility whatsoever. It's outlandish. It's ridiculous. Wait, it's geschmack. Ooh, it would be nice if the guy offered me a fortune of money for this shidduch. And memela, it doesn't allow me to put in all the efforts that I need, the proper hishtadlus, because of that dream, because of that threat, because of that possibility, which is not even a realistic, not even a possibility at all.
So that's how.
Very good. Wait, still in my lines. So, but vaisdois a shvua is going to help. Why does the shvua help? Because the shvua takes it from the human level, the human loyalty to Avraham Avinu, the human loyalty to my Rebbe, the human decency to know what my Rebbe, who gave me everything I have, wants, and therefore I certainly want to reciprocate with everything he wants according to the way he wants it. But now all of a sudden, because of the fact that there's a shvua, it's out of my mind. It won't influence it. Before that, I was tempted by the shoychad, even though I knew it could never be, and I knew I would never do it. Yet that the thought of the shoychad can affect me emotionally, and I won't be able to put, I might not be able to put in the same hishtadlus to get him a shidduch, even though I know that that thing which is affecting me is something that could never be, and I'll never be able to get that money. That's true. But a shvur? Oh, now it's not me. It's not emotions. It's not an emotional battle. It's a shvur. That's it. I'm halachically bound. The halachic imperative can dispel the influence of that negia. When I'm emotionally bound not to do it, It's still, and even though I'm emotionally bound and I will not do it under any circumstances, because the Sepurnu does not say that he was concerned that it would happen. That's nothing. It can still affect me. Because emotionally, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? I wish I could. What do you wish you could? You know you can't. I know I can't, but I wish I could. But it would be nice if I could. All of a sudden, I'm not the same mishtadl, even though I have to be mishtadl, because that possibility is out of the question. And the only thing that could prevent me is there's a shvua. Then it's not in the emotions anymore. Then it's not in the thought process anymore. Then it's like an evid. You know, anu avdo de kud shabarichu. I have no choice. And I think that we see two things from here that are very important and relevant. One is, of course, the power of a negia. You know, negias are very, not very well understood in secular society. I'll never forget reading many, many years ago, I think the Chief Justice of the Israeli Supreme, the secular Supreme Court at the time, I think his name was Cohen, not sure. I think that was his name. And he was bragging about how he does not and they do not allow their political opinions to affect their legal judgments. We don't allow it to happen, you know? And he proved it, because we don't go to political rallies or parties or cocktail parties or whatever it is where the politicians meet. That's the proof that our political views never influence our judgments. This is a chochem. This is a brilliant a legal mind. This is the head of the Supreme Court in Israel. But we don't get it. We don't get it. The negias are so powerful that even a negia that is for something that we can never have and we know we can never have, but it's still confused. It's so easy to confuse. It's so easy to become clouded. Any type of a negia bedover, a sheichad of a pruta, a toiva, what was the maisa once, the Ramban, they say, that somebody came to a din Torah and he excused himself from the din Torah because he says many years before when he's having certain problems, he swam in this guy's swimming pool and he had hanor from him and therefore, not shaykh. Years back, nothing, forgotten, no shaykhs, anything. And that's probably even more, there's even more subtle things. A human being has to be constantly choshed for negias and peace. Now, one of the ways, of course, to fight negias is besides the ho'odum yireleinayim, that we do have an ability to look inside, to introspect, and to sense sometimes there's negias, but sometimes we also have to have a good friend. We have to have someone who could help us and say, you know, aren't you a little bit negev? That's one parsha. But the other thing is also very powerful, and that is the power of authority. We live in a very confused world. And the acquiescence to temptation, people giving in to all kinds of terrible and overwhelming and sick temptations is very, very prevalent. But there's a koyach that can prevent all of that confusion. And that's din, avdus, ashvua, farmushma v'yomim harsinai. What can I do? Once it's I don't want to do it, then all of a sudden the negias come in and say, I want to do it, maybe I want to do it, maybe I do want to do it, maybe I should want to do it, who knows what. It's impossible. I made a shvua. The halacha forbids it. There's nothing to talk about. That's the only thing that has the ability to take a negia, with a subtle negia which was so deeply buried, which could have affected in such an irrational way, and that can dispel that negia because there's nothing. There's nothing. It's not I decide I don't want to, and therefore I'm influenced by wanting. No, there's nothing to talk about. That's the power. So we're very fortunate that we have such a koyach. The Sepurnu says in the end of in Parshas Tzitzis that that's the koyach of tzitzis. Urisa moisu ischartim is called mitzvah Hashem. You see the tzitzis. You see kechoisam yad raboy olov. I have the branding. I'm an eved. Oh, I'm an eved. And then he says, all the machshavos hevleichem will dissipate because there's nothing to talk about. If I talk to the foolishness and I talk to the temptation and I talk to the confusion that's within myself, the negias are there and I can't see clearly and I get confused and I get straightened out and I get confused again. I don't know what I'm talking about. But the minute that I'm an evet, there's nothing to talk about, nothing to think about. There's nothing. It's non-negotiable. Forget it. It's off limits. It's just not shaykh. It's not shaykh. That level of not shaykh, achutz, my feelings. If it's from within my feelings that I wouldn't do it, the danger is still there. But if it's an absolute directive, then, and that, Baruch Hashem, that we have those directives and we have the ability to respond and to control ourselves. And I think that that's very much the Havona in what Chazal say, Ein lecho ben chayrin, ela mi she'osek b'Torah. Only a person who's osek b'Torah is a ben chayrin, is free. So posh it, people wonder, that's freedom. I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do the other thing. But we don't realize. The real avdus, the most powerful avdus, is the avdus to our own temptations, where I can't control myself. I'm not free. I'm free. I'm not free at all. I am the pathetic object, the pathetic victim of all the desire and all the confusion and all the temptation and everything that happens to me in life. But the minute that a person's basic batira, and there's a divine directive, and it's just non-negotiable, and it's out of the question, and there's nothing that it doesn't even pay to think about it, that has the power to give him the strength to be free again and to do everything and anything that he's obligated and really deep down wants to do, but was too emotionally confused from the thing. So that's something to think about.
In that case, should I make it better? If you're trying to control something more than an aspect, and I can't, by being on the computer after 10 minutes, I make it better not to do it unless I get